Nice work, everyone. All right, you can go ahead and take a seat. But the kids, just for a moment, I'm going to have you stand up in just a minute. You can sit for a second. Don't worry. Kids, sit. Sorry, you sit. Well, it's so good to be with you. And this is fun to get to share a little bit of what we do with the kids at a service like this. And in just a minute, Pastor Gary's going to come. The kids can just stay right here. He's going to talk to us for a few minutes. But before we do that, there's something we want to let you all in the loop on. And that's what we do at camp. What we do at camp is we want to learn. We want to have a lot of fun. We also want to learn about things that are true about God. And the way we do that is with something called the five-finger gospel. We do that together. Who in the front here knows the five-finger gospel? You guys know this? All right, I'm going to have all the kids stand up again. You guys can stand up, and we're going to rehearse this together. I'm going to say it before the kids perform it for you. Here's what it is if you want to follow along. We start with, God loves me. Yeah, and then I'm a sinner. Yeah, and then Jesus died and rose for me. You guys are so good at this. And if I trust him as my Savior, yep, I'm his child forever, right? Okay, we're going to do it all together. Now, can you guys turn around for me really quick? You see the cars up on Murray? We want them to hear this, okay? They're behind that tent. They're really far away. I want them to hear it, though. So turn around and face me. We're going to do it all together, okay? Ready? One, two, three. God loves me. Last one, I'm his child forever. Nice job, guys. All right, you can take a seat right where you're at. Take a seat. Round of applause for these guys. That was awesome. You can take a seat, and I'm going to invite Pastor Gary to come up. He's got something for us. He's going to tell us what it means to know God, which is awesome. So we're going to welcome up Pastor Gary for a few minutes, okay? Thanks.
All right, so did you have fun so far tonight? Yeah. What I want to do for just a few minutes, let me talk to your parents and those others who brought you tonight. Take your programs, if you will, those of you out here. And if you look inside, you'll see some scripture references. I'm going to maybe not call out each one, but I'm going to talk about these. And these are ones you can take home with you. And if you'd like to talk to your children a little more about what we're talking about, you can use those. But I want to talk to you guys for just a moment now. Because when my kids were your age, there were two things. We taught them a lot of things, but I want to tell you about two things that we taught our kids when they were your age. One thing we taught them was how to listen to God. And then another thing we taught them is how to know God. So I want to just do those two things tonight. Teach you how to listen to God and teach you how to know God. So here, let's start with how to listen to God, okay? How do you listen to God? Okay, everybody, be really quiet. Shh. Everybody across the field. Shh. All right, everybody's quiet. Okay, listen. Listen. Do you hear him? Okay, wait, everybody, a little bit more quiet. Everybody, really, really quiet. Okay, wait. Okay, now we're going to listen. Listen. Anybody hear him? No, of course you don't. You know why? Because that's not how you listen to God. Here's how you listen to God. You take this book and you open it. And when you start reading words out of this book, we're going to read the very words that God has given to us. It's God's word. It's the Bible and it's God's word. So the way to listen to God is simply to open this big book and start reading it. And when we read it and we hear the words, it's really God's words that we're hearing. When you open the first page, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God made everything. And then if I turned all the way to the end of the book and read the last couple of lines in the very end of the book, this one named John, one of Jesus's followers, God had him write this last book, Revelation, and you turn all the way to the end, and he says, Jesus said, surely I am coming soon. And then John says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. And you can close the book. But we've got all that we didn't read. So God talked a lot more than what I just said. But he started by saying, in the beginning, God says, I made everything. Everybody look up. He made the heavens. Those are the heavens. God made that. Look forward and then look kind of to your side and look to this side. You see trees and grass and flowers, and sometimes you might see some amazing birds, the little hummingbirds. Sometimes during the service, they may come right here to these flowers, and God made those. God made everything. Everything that's made, God made it, is what that's saying. And God says, I want you to listen to me because I've spoken, and all you have to do is pick this up. But let me tell you the second thing I taught my kids. Not only how to listen to God, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Just pick this up, and some of you say, it's not so easy for me, I can't read. Well, somebody can read it to you right now. But as you get older, read this, because this is God telling us what he wants us to know. But the second thing I taught my kids was not only how to listen to God, but how to know God. How can I know him? Because he tells us in this book, not only did I make you, but I made you because I want to know you, and I want you to know me, and I want you to be with me forever. That's why that last, when you said forever, you can be a child of God forever. He wants to know us that well. So let me tell you from this book how you can know God. And we already read that first sentence of the book. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you know how he created? Do you know how he made everything? By talking, exactly right. He made everything. He just spoke. God said, let there be. And when he said, let there be, on day one, there was light. God spoke and light came. And then God said, let there be the sky, and the sky was there. And then God just said, let there be land and sea and plants. And everything just happened. What would it be like if you could just speak and it happened? If you could say, let there be my homework finished, and it just happened, that'd be fantastic. I know, we can't do that. But God is so great. He just spoke, and we have everything. That's how powerful he is. And so on this first page of his book, the Bible, it says over and over and over, God said, let there be. God said, God said. And everything came into existence. But then when we get down to about right here on this first page, then God is going to make this statement that's going to be really incredible. Then God said, let us make man in our image. And God said, I want to make something like me. Not another God, but something in my image. And he made humans. He made Adam and Eve. He made our first, even though we can look at each other, and we don't look exactly the same, and we may have different color hair and different color skin and all that, every one of us can look back to our parents and our grandparents and grand-grandparents and grand-grand-grand-grand and way, way back, and we all go back to Adam and Eve, that first man and woman that God made. He made all of us. But you just turn one page in this book, and you get to the top of this other page, and it says that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Think about that for a moment. Here's Adam and Eve. They're the first people that God made. And one day, they're in this garden, the Garden of Eden, and here's God. And God's just hanging out with them. You ever just hung out with God? No, because he doesn't just come like that. But he did back then. And they're in the garden with him, and you think, wow, how cool is that? And the way it's written, it's like this happened all the time. But this day wasn't a good day, because on this day, they heard the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, but this day the man and his wife, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Any of you ever play hide and seek? How many of you are hard to find? How many of you are easy to find? How many of you think you could hide from God? Nobody could hide from God. Some of you are putting your friends' hands down and you're saying, no, you couldn't hide from God. You're right. Nobody can hide from God. But why would they even want to hide from God? Well, I left some things out. Here's why. Because God told Adam and Eve, said, I'm giving you everything that's good. Everything that's good, you can have it. And you just enjoy what I've given you in this incredible garden. But one command. What if you only had one command? That's all Adam and Eve had. One command. Don't take of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do, you'll surely die. In other words, God said, let me tell you what's good and let me tell you what's not good. Just trust me. And if you trust me, you'll be okay. But if you don't trust me, God said, then you'll die. What did Adam and Eve do? They didn't trust God. And Satan came in the form of a serpent. And he said, God didn't really say that, did he? And then they disobeyed God. God loves you. Remember the five-finger gospel? God loves you. But what's the second one?
I'm a sinner.
That's what I'm a sinner means. That you don't trust God. And that's how Adam and Eve started this sin, by not trusting God. So what happened was, God put Adam and Eve out of the garden. God made Adam and Eve to be in this cool relationship with him, but they didn't trust him, and so God put them out of the garden. And there was no way back. He put these cherubim, these angels with flaming swords. How are you going to get to God if there's a flaming sword? The point was there was no way back. So think about it. This whole big book, I've only talked about two pages. God created everyone, created everything. He made you and me in his image. He was with Adam and Eve in the garden in this perfect relationship. They decided they didn't want to trust him anymore, so they were put out of this relationship. They were with God no more. That's all just in these two pages. Let's go through the rest of this book. You want to go through all the rest of it? Okay, understand. That's fair. What if I could go through it in one word? Would that be fair? Well, let me try. Let me give you one word then. So God created everything. He created you and me. Adam and Eve, they decided we don't want to trust you. So they were put away from God. And here I think I can tell you the whole rest of this book in one word. The one word I would use is rescue. Because God says, I want to rescue you. I want to put you back in this relationship with me. God loves you. But I'm a sinner because Adam and Eve, they sinned. They didn't trust God. So what's the rescue? That's the third one. Jesus died and rose. There's a verse, I bet most of you know it. God so loved the world, the people that he made, that he sent his only son. That he sent God the Son, became a man, became Jesus. And he literally died on the cross. Do you know why he died? Because I'm a sinner. Because you're a sinner. Because everybody is. Everybody out here is. And needs rescue. And needs to be saved. Another word for rescue is saved. God loved the world so much that he sent his only son. And if you believe in him, you can have life forever. God loves you. But I'm a sinner. That's why Jesus died and he rose. But if I trust him as my Savior, I'm his child forever. Exactly right. So, but what does that look? How do we do that? Well, let me give you one more. There's this book called Romans, and it says this. This is how we can trust God. If you will confess with your mouth, if you'll say with your mouth, Jesus, you're my Lord, or you might say, you're my boss. I had a friend one time, he couldn't really understand what Lord meant, but he knew what boss meant. He said, will you be my boss? Will you be over me? Will you be my master? Those are kind of the same kind of words. Jesus, will you be this for me? If you'll confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you'll be rescued or you'll be saved as well. For with the heart, we believe and we're made right. God puts us right back into a relationship with himself, just like Adam and Eve started. That's what justified means. We get put right. And then with the mouth, we say this, him confessing him as Lord. And he saves us. And he literally saves us from our sin. You know, that's what we do. That's why we do these Sunday nights, every Sunday night. That's why we have these adventure camps and kids camps and carnivals. Because God loves you. But because we can all trace our roots back to Adam and Eve. We're all in need of rescue. We're all in need of Savior. That's the way to read this Bible. And God sent his son Jesus, and he died on the cross, not because he needed to, but because we needed him to, because we needed a Savior, because we needed help. And then he rose from the grave because God said, you'll surely die. But he says, I'll take that for you and I'll conquer it. And I want to tell all of you out here and all of you right here, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be rescued. Don't just say I'm a sinner. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying and rising for my sin and save me and rescue me. That's good news. That's good news. That's why we're here. Bow your heads, and I wanna just pray for you. I wanna pray for all of you out here. The musicians and the band. You can come on up because after I pray, we'll sing again. But I just wanna pray for you for a moment. Everybody, bow your heads, please. Oh God, thank you. That you made us. God, thank you that you made us for this relationship with you. And God, thank you that you're so good, even though our first parents decided not to trust you. You told everybody that has come after them that if we will trust you, if we'll trust that Jesus really did die, he really did rise from the dead, that he really did do this to pay for my sin because I'm a sinner. That we can just ask and he'll forgive me. And so I'm going to ask you right now with your heads bowed, just to take a moment. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord, you don't even have to do it out loud, but ask him, Jesus, will you be my Lord? If you've never asked him to forgive you of your sin, ask him, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. Will you forgive me of my sin? And ask him if he'll rescue you. Ask him if he'll save you, because he wants to. And he wants all of us, not just these little children up front, but all of us to be his children forever. If that's something that you've just said to God yourself, you've asked Jesus to be your Lord just now, when we're done here, we'd love to talk to you. We have some information for you at the information tent. And come see us or let one of these staff in these camp shirts or kids shirts know that you'd like to talk to somebody, and they'll talk to you, or we'll talk to you, or they'll find somebody to talk to you. But this is the most important thing that you'll ever do in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.